The following program has been brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Eating Disorder.
Woo!
Yeah!
I'm Paul Gerard, sitting here with my co-host, the Reverend Spiro.
What up?
And Adam Velez.
How you doing?
With this big-ass can of Modelo.
Especially.
It's fucking classy, that can.
It is. It comes with a straw.
Stop telling me, unless they give us some money. Shh. Okay?
I'll show some ankle.
That ain't happening anytime soon. Today we're going to be discussing blogs, food zines, everyone's an expert, and some people are.
And Yelp.
And Yelp, yeah.
We should Yelp the Yelpers.
Don't get me started on Yelp.
Let's get you started on Yelp. Let's get you started.
It is extremely frustrating to deal with some of those Yelpers. Did I tell you about the last week when I had to meet a friend of mine by the church, St. Francis of Assisi, so I gave a quick Google because I didn't remember exactly where it was, and I noticed that the fucking church had been Yelped.
Oh, my God.
And there was a review of the church, and the woman said, "We went there on Christmas Eve," and Christmas Eve was in quotes, as if it wasn't, really Christmas Eve, you know? And she said, "It wasn't as magnificent as St. Patrick's Cathedral, but good enough to pray." Yeah. That's an actual fucking Yelp.
We should create one called Yipes.
Yeah.
Where we Yelp the Yelpers and we just call it Yipes.
It would be great to go to their jobs. Because most of these people are probably doing it while they're sitting in their offices and like piles of paper, you know, they're just gathering and they're not doing their fucking job.
Have you seen my stapler?
I'm unclear what is a church that's not good enough to pray?
Yeah, exactly.
If there's a church that's not good enough to pray, you're praying wrong.
Right.
You don't understand the concept of the relationship to God.
You Yelp your prayer. They never said the body of Christ, which I find to be the most important part of the ending of my prayer.
His Latin was imperfect. I don't know.
I saw one today for a friend of mine. I was looking at her restaurant, and again, I was just looking for the fucking address. I really try not to go on Yelp at all, because they calculate every time everything is hit, you know, and I don't want to give them any more boosts than they're already getting. But it's tempting. You fall into it. So I look at her review, and this one woman started out, "I usually don't do this unless something goes horribly, horribly wrong." And it's like, what the fuck, man? You know, like, how bad is it that you have to, like, what could go horribly, horribly wrong, you know? It's a restaurant. It's not like, you know, nobody's ever claiming anything to be completely perfect.
No,
you know?
If flaming hailstones and toads did not show up, you should be fine,
exactly,
okay?
Exactly.
Here's your Yelp. You should be like, I may not eat there again.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Or say something while you're there, you know, and have it get fixed, you know? It's not like Nicolas Cage when he was in Moonstruck. He didn't say, you know, "Restaurants are perfect. You know, casual dining is perfect. We're not perfect."
I lost my head.
So I started looking at some different things about food blogs and some fun facts that I came up with. Strangely enough, I got them off a blog. 73% are from the United States. So most of the people in the rest of the world are like, "What? I got a life to live."
We're also United States is like obese, so they're just always at restaurants, just blogging away in between like gravy boats and cheese fries. That's what's happening.
Exactly. Keep them hungry. 85% of bloggers are female, and the majority are 25 to 34. The second largest group is 35 to 44. So it's 25 to 45 is the average age of females in the United States who are blogging. And you know, I feel like those are mostly the Yelpers. I mean, I might be. Is that chauvinistic of me
to say
something like that? Actually, we have.
I don't see Orler holding a rolling pin beating her hand right now, so I guess you're okay. You're in the clear.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're yelping,
but most people are posting recipes, which is okay. You know, it's fun to do, and it is helpful to have. You know, you can go on and you see what people do. Actually, Russell, your husband is a recipe blogger.
He is a recipe blogger and a lifestyle blogger, too.
And a lifestyle blogger.
Lifestyle. Brooklyn Lifestyle, baby.
Nice. What's the name of the blog?
Brooklyn Homemaker.
Brooklyn Homemaker. It's a beautiful blog.
Thank you very much. We were just blogging today in the backyard, or preparing to blog.
Preparing to
garden,
blog.
Garden blogging.
Blogging? How do you prepare to blog?
Is that blogging?
Blogging.
With pansies? Prepping those, for spring?
Those the flowers or friends?
Both.
Nice. Very nice. What are some of your favorite blogs, Spiro?
I am partial to the Bitchy Waiter. And, you know, we've been trying to get him on the show, too, just because... I like this guy. He goes in anonymously. He's a waiter. He's looking at it from a different angle. But what I loved is he found Michael Cera, right, at a restaurant. And Michael Cera pulls out chess, okay? Problem right off the bat. It's busiest time of the night. The guy pulls out chess, and he decides that I'm going to have dinner and play chess when there's a line, you know, 20 deep waiting for a fucking table. Okay, we get it. You're a fucking celebrity. But fucking chess,
yeah.
All right? I mean, that's like bringing out Monopoly, okay? I mean, seriously, it's like chess isn't like the kind of game it's like, oh, we're going to play some backgammon. It'll be done in like, you know,
any game
20 minutes.
It should be Sorry, if anything. Yeah. It's a game you should be playing at a restaurant.
Go fish, you know? Some, you know, play
you
war,
play
you know?
It's like, but we do have a couple people in the audience here who have one of my favorite food publications, Ralph and Sarah from Put an Egg on It.
What's up?
Hello.
How you guys doing today?
Adapting to loud people, loud New Yorkers.
All the people that are out today. Yeah, the weather's finally nice. It's beautiful.
Yeah, this neighborhood has changed a lot. I've now lived around here for 12 years, in this right around here.
Oh, you're one of those guys. You're like, dude, I was here with blah, blah.
No, I don't do that.
Back in my day.
I don't do that.
That's okay.
It's only a matter of time.
I don't do that, but I do get annoyed each time I leave my house, and I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Like, that's my... I'm like, what's happening?
I got a little annoyed today when I got on the train, and I noticed, like, oh, great, fucking guys in sandals are back. This is fantastic.
Well, as long as they're not wearing seashell necklaces, I'm cool with
it. Stocks are making a big...
It gets hot out there.
Oh.
People's toes are everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, toes in general, I don't mind, but it's the big paddle ones with the hair on them I'm not very fond of. But let's get back to food.
Sorry, yes.
Yeah. So, Put an Egg on It. It is an Irreverent Digest size art and literary magazine printed on green paper out of New York City. So that's what it says on your blog. I love that. I love the irreverence that you actually state that it's irreverent, because a lot of food associated things lately are just so not irreverent. They're so clean and prissy, which is the thing that kind of annoys me about it. What made you guys go that way?
Well, like,
I was just going to say, we can't help it.
I mean, that's our natural personality, but like any magazine that like tries to put forth that tries to put forth perfection, or like you know, trying to make your life perfect, I find annoying, because you know, I just like, you know, real life and having a good time. You don't have to be perfect.
So I should just throw out all my Maxim magazines I've collected for the last 30 years.
Yes.
Human beings are not supposed to look like that much.
Well, especially irritating when you have alternative food. Okay. I won't mention any names because I know people, but like, if you're supposed to be alternative, but you still try to create this like perfection of like everything's white and clean.
Clean and pristine.
And like, I don't really get that as being altered. Like, how is that Brooklyn? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
So I think that's why we picked green paper.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, like, the white thing always, from having been in the publishing industry, the white thing always irritated me. It was Index Magazine who started that particular trend about 12, 13 years ago.
I love that magazine, though.
Yeah, it was a great magazine, but then everybody went, you know, chalk white with the you know, the kind of twee type. You know,
have you seen that the magazine White Zinfandel?
Yes.
The food zine. I love they describe themselves as devoted to the visual manifestation of food and culture produced within the lives of creative individuals.
Whoa.
21 gigawatts is what
that's
they
quite said. That's quite a mouthful.
I can't talk shit about
them. I'm not talking shit about them. It's very beautiful to look at.
I'll just be general because I have to be magnanimous.
So what are some that you like?
I like Put an Egg on It. What do I like? I liked Fire and Knives.
Fire and Knives is really good. I like Fire and Knives a lot.
Food magazine. I like all of them. It's just that
Meat Paper.
I like all of them, but they all are like kind of the opposite of what we're doing. I like this zine called Runcible Spoon, which is like very amateurish. And
I've seen that. Is that the one where they review like a blood pig blood pudding and ice cream? Like pig blood together. Ice cream.
I like a little amateur. An amateur quality to food too.
Absolutely.
Food as well as print.
What made you guys move from just, you know, buying a domain name and just sitting down and typing away in your spare time to actually putting some effort into it? Because it's fantastic. When I pick up your zine, you know, even the smell is great.
I love that smell. Our whole studio smells like that when we get a new issue. We did the first one. It was just print, and it's always just been a print thing. Like, our website is actually very neglected.
Yeah, we don't pay enough attention to our online presence. We probably do better.
But the first one was 500 copies, and it was just us because we didn't trust ourselves to ask people to do stuff yet. So
I'm in it.
No, you're in the second one.
I'm in the second one.
The very first one was just us, and it was just a dinner party where we bought...
most people think our second issue is our first issue.
We bought everything from the corner store, and we brought it home, and we tried to make the fanciest possible meal out of that stuff, and that was just the first issue.
Yeah.
What was the fancy ingredients, like Hubig's pies and...
No, it was like the Mexican squash stuff that they cut in like a big chunk.
Yeah, but we did do it. We did a party at Sarah's house of with Hubig's pies. We always have... we write little stories about local products, usually not like new artisanal things, but like old school local... Like every city in America has their own chips, their own soda pop,
right.
Everything. So we did do a little party where we had... Taylor pork roll sandwiches from New Jersey.
Yeah, my dad wrote about those.
And Verner's, which is the oldest bottled soda in America from Detroit.
Did you have Scrabble too?
No.
That's good stuff.
I would do that with. I've done that at home. And then we had Hubig's pies. They sent us like two big boxes.
Nice.
Hubig's is the best.
So where did the name come from? Put an egg on it.
Well, that is something that. We just say all the time. And Sarah, we were just sitting there and we were trying to think of an idea. And we had been saying that recently. And I said, and I'm a fan of long, ridiculous titles. Instead of just like, it's the opposite of just like the single name title. So I'm always like, the longer, the more ridiculous, the better. So I just thought it was a perfect way to encapsulate the aesthetic of the magazine. Which is like... not taking things too seriously, and the same way about the way we feel about food, which is, you know,
consider yourself a foodie?
I don't use that word, but I mean, I like to, I don't really use that word. I just like to
eat. It is a pretty annoying word.
Yeah, I like to eat, and I like to cook. My mother is a good cook, and my mother taught me how to cook, and I learned how to cook, and I worked in restaurants since I was 14. So, you know.
If I could just interrupt for a second. You know, we always talk about the bad day table. No, we're talking about social media. They both have their phones out. Yeah. They're on the day. They're both staring at their phones.
They're reading food blogs.
They're reading food blogs.
They're yelping about Roberto's right now.
They're yelping about us as we speak.
The pizza's so good.
It's so weird.
They're literally talking, looking at each other, staring at their phones.
They're going to turn it into an episode, an issue of Penthouse Forum. Yeah. I never thought this would happen to me. So you guys, you don't really you don't really say the foodie word, the dirty foodie word. I hate that fucking word.
Foodie word, they look at like hipsters don't like the word hipster, but they're hipsters. You know, foodies don't like the word foodie, but in the
I'll compromise
sense,
with food enthusiasts.
They're not hipsters.
Food enthusiasts?
You're a hipster if you're hip to something.
If you're hip to something.
And these people are not, the majority of people called hipsters are not actually hip to anything.
The funny thing is when we were young, we used to call that a poser.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that wasn't
but now weird. It's not a bad thing to pose or to be a sellout. Now it's like great.
Now it's called normcore.
Yes.
they make up words for
these things. No. The real irony of normcore is they really are normal and boring.
I know.
They actually really are normal and boring, and they're trying to be normal and boring. That's as a statement.
It should happen with food they the really, same way.
Yeah. The irony is the irony wrapped inside irony.
And they also don't know what irony
deep
means.
Fried,
they don't
know irony is ironic.
They don't actually.
No, that's coincidental, not ironic. Yeah. You know that there's a big difference here.
Alanis Morissette had it all wrong.
I remember you telling me that you came up with the name Put an Egg on It because you could take leftovers from any restaurant and then you just put an egg on it and you have a meal.
Yeah. I do that all the time. I still do it. I do it with my own things that I cook the next day I have for breakfast. I actually like it not heating up the food. Like a hamburger is the best, a half-eaten hamburger.
Cold with an egg and hot egg?
And then the hot egg on top.
Oh, wow.
And then you just smush the yolk all into the hamburger.
We're going to break. We will be back
with the Blog Wives.
With the Blog Wives and our friend Kevin Marr, comic Kevin Marr, and more about how everyone's an expert, how everybody helps, and how blah, 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 blah.
This is Ancestors by Peels on heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program was brought to you by Rolling Press. Rolling Press is a family-run digital and offset print house that brings together eco-friendly methods, ethical practices, and personalized service. Using environmentally responsible papers, non-toxic inks, and wind power, Rolling Press represents the harmony of traditional craftsmanship and mindful sustainability. Rolling Press offers advice on reducing paper waste and energy consumption, helping you save money and minimize your carbon footprint. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
Here we go.
Dimensions.
We're good, we're good. Yeah, we're on. Let's go.
Back to Eating Disorder. We are live.
Yeah, we are live.
We just wanted to prove to you that we're live.
Yeah.
All right, so we're talking about blogs, food zines, everyone being an expert, the nasty Y word that Spiro referenced, like masturbation. Everybody yelps. It's okay. Everybody does it. I don't fucking yelp.
Everybody yelps. Hey, you know,
I'll yelp. Oh yeah, but normally, honestly, if I don't like something, I'm not putting it up there. You know, if I like something, I'll yelp it. I'll go, oh, I love this place. It's fantastic. Yeah. I love it. If not, you know, I'm going to be the back
Wait,
in our day.
Did I just actually say if I don't like something, I'm not putting it up there?
Yeah, that's
no,
not
no,
like
I'm
him.
Talking about Yelp. I'm talking about Yelp specifically, you know, because back in my day, we didn't have these fancy computing devices, you know. We no, didn't like something. We grabbed you by the lapel. We told you.
We firebombed the place.
There's definitely something to be said about, like, a group consensus about certain things. You know, if you're looking up, like, a house painter or a laundromat and, you know, like, if you want to know if you're going to get fucking bed bugs from the laundry or something like that. But that's something that doesn't really require an expertise, you know, like... I think it was Andrew Zimmer, and I read somewhere recently that he had posted about, you know, I'm not going to ask my 5-year-old son what his favorite John Updike novel is, you know, because, you know, and that's basically what it is with Yelpers, you know, like just shut the fuck up, you know, like you don't, you have no fucking expertise in what you in what you're talking about, so you don't earn the right to get on that soapbox.
Well, yeah, let's introduce some more of our guests.
Yes. So we have Russell Maxwell here.
Hello. Yeah. Hi.
That's quite a name, Russell Thank Maxwell. You. Russell right. Maxwell.
Seven
is
and
a
seven,
blog
baby.
Wife.
I am a blog wife. I'm a survivor. I'm here.
I wanted to know that if you were on, if Bravo did a TV show, the Blog Wives of New York, whose hair would you pull?
Oh. You know
what? What other blog drives you crazy? You just want to pull their fucking hair.
There's a lot of bitches out there. I have to fight some bitches. We'll just let me let you know about that one.
All right.
We're here for you.
So how is it having a significant other that dedicates so much time to that?
Well, as you can imagine, if someone does that for you, you're already really spoiled. So
are you gaining a lot of weight?
I have Yes. Hello. Hi. Thanks, Paul. I have for years.
You look it's good.
5 years. Thank you. Yeah, if you can imagine, they're already cooking tons and spoiling you. So when they start taking pictures and writing about things, and you can smell things cooking for hours, right, but you can't touch them because there's photos to be taken. Oh, it's like it's torturous. Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine somebody would have to be a bit obsessive to want to take it to that level of like, I'm going to write about this and tell the whole world about it.
And take pictures for like an hour and a half. And
so when you get it, it's all cold.
It's a little, it's still okay, but it's, you know, by that time you're like, ah, and you try to sneak in there. You can't dip your fingers in anything. You can't sneak around.
You're like the cameraman in like the food adverts where they like make a burger and it's all pretty and they glue the sesame
and it's totally glued
in
fake.
But that's like, hey, you might as well eat it, guys. Well,
and we also talked about the fact that all experts and all bloggers aren't the enemy, you know, and like, you know, our guest Kevin Marr is a comedian, does a lot of stuff about nerds, who I associate with. He does Geek Out with Kevin, where he's done stuff about like Dungeons and Dragons or comic books or whatnot. Now, you know, we always look at that guy from the Simpsons comic book guy, you know, and there are food and beer and cocktail people like this. They're the people who, no matter where you go, right, it's like, well, I'm trying this beer. Actually, what you want to try?
You know what? In looking at those facts that I was digging through today, it's like less than 15% of people out of the 100% that do food blogs have experience in the food industry, and less than 5% have experience with drinks and the drink industry.
That's the big gap. It's the difference between consumer and creator. And I think it used to be in New York City, it was a city that was filled with creative people that were doing, you know, art and film and theater and music. And now there are people that kind of identify themselves by their consumption. Where
you build
You build your own brand of, like, on Netflix, you can follow all the reviews of what I've consumed on film. Goodreads is where I'm going to post about all the books that I'm reading and talk about, here's what the author did wrong, here's what they should have done, here's what John Updike should have done to end the novel. Exactly. And then the same thing with food. It's people who aren't necessarily creating food, but they're getting their identity in a consumer culture about what they eat, and then how it should have been done and what should have been done better.
It's also a safe way of complaining, though. You're sitting, you know, safely behind a little screen typing away.
Not everybody is complaining, though. In all fairness, not everybody's complaining. Well, yeah, some people are doing some really fantastic stuff. To me, it's just gotten to a point where it's become like white noise. Like, I can't even decide what the fuck to read.
It's both. It's like there's overwhelming positiveness too, which is really annoying.
Oh yeah, but I think that
goes enthusiasm.
Yeah, yeah, but that, like, no, but it's so delicious and it's so wonderful. Well, it's so great, and it's just, that's annoying too.
But there's that insincerity. But I'm going back to that whole nerd factor. Listen, from the standpoint of being a comic book nerd and a sci-fi nerd, I am enthusiastic about telling you about shit that you probably could care less about. You know, I mean, that's the
but
truth.
But would you sit for hours and take all the pictures and everything like Russell's talking about? You know, I mean, that takes it to a whole new level. I mean, it's...
Yeah, and there's something nerdy about that from the standpoint that I admire that.
Yes.
I'm not using the word nerd in a derogatory sense at all. And am I identifying to it? Yes, I would if it was about things that I'm interested in, you know? Yeah. But yeah, I do like the nerds. I do like the people who are obsessed about it. I do like the people who give a shit about what kind of hops went in their beer or, you know, whatever's going on. It's when it just becomes ridiculously, as you said, insincere, you know? But when it becomes something that it's not really about the culture anymore, but it's about, like, blah, 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 look at me, blah, 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 look at me, blah, 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 look at me.
What was somebody new at the date table? What was your hubby's deciding factor to get him into it?
He's cute and like thick and lovely and makes all this cute shit, and we live in a Crate and Barrel catalog. Like, my house is fucking perfect. I've never been that person. So our friends were finally like, you need to catalog this shit that you do. He's like, look at this cake that I made with like 7 layers and like
cake boss.
Fresh strawberries. Not even that bad. Like, no fondant. Fuck fondant. But like, like fresh, delicious, awesome stuff. And people were like, oh my God, you're so adorable. Why don't you do something about it? He used to have a jam company, but then like 20 other bitches copied him. And like, you know, you've got... Like,
you know the difference between jam and jelly.
I'm going to get there. I just brought it up.
Right.
How much time does he dedicate to it?
Show.
I would say that if, like, per post or something, I would say 5-6 hours per post.
Oh, so that's not so bad.
It's not, you know, like, maybe, you know, more. Depending, and it's, he not does like you things feel over neglected. Time. No, I do feel neglected and lonely. And,
Exactly. Poor me.
But. If you could have him write a blog about anything else, like exercise or framing or sex or travel, something else for him to obsess over, what would it be?
He combines all of it, so it's not just food. Like, he'll do something, you know, he'll be like, oh, look, I remodeled the guest room, or I painted the bathroom, or whatever. Like,
new butt plugs are in.
Yeah. Well, butt plug, actually, exactly. Spackle, butt plug, you know, glitter.
So would you say it's enhanced your relationship, or has it put a damper on it?
It's enhanced our relationship, and it's like a prospect for the future. You know, maybe we'll get like a Home Depot contract. Hey, Home Depot, hi.
That was another interesting thing.
Not even
thing.
A Chase commercial. Or
exactly.
Like, 99% really of people don't make any money off it.
We're going to. Shh. Okay.
No, I believe. Oh, don't fill them in. I believe you.
I want you to. Yeah.
Are you guys getting rich on Put an Egg on It yet? You got your yacht.
We're the we have a food magazine, and like I feel like I cook all the time, and I make good food, and so does Sarah. And like I'm always like, God, I'm supposed to Instagram this, and like once in a while I'll remember. And like I just want to eat the damn food. I'm like,
collaboration.
I just want to eat it. I know.
But so it's tough.
No, it's tough because like I'm trying to do other work, but then I'm like, if I just take a picture of my food, everyone's like, woo! And I'm like, I don't really care.
It's instant praise.
It's almost gotten to the point where, like, your product, as beautiful as it is, isn't enough if you're not tweeting
about it.
Yeah, we have to tweet. We have to blog. I have to remind him to tweet. And both of us kind of hate it, so we have to, like, remind ourselves constantly.
Tweeting fucking sucks.
Yeah, I hate the word.
I only got Twitter because of my magazine.
You can take penicillin for that.
Yeah.
Clears it right up.
Yeah, I'm confessing, like, I don't really care about Instagram or Twitter, but I do think it's funny, like, selfies, like, I'll take a selfie, and, like, I'll talk about political things and, like, things that are really close to me, and nobody gives a shit. Right. Post a selfie, and, like, a million people comment on it.
My favorite posts by Kevin are usually about his kid. Okay, but I mean, Kevin, what do you feel about the whole, you know, the idea of, like, the social media thing? I know you use it, you do.
Yeah. Yeah, of course I use it. I'm either talking about movies, or I'm talking about my kids, or I'm talking about showing my kids movies. And I just wanted to get to the whole idea that there's so much online culture, whether it's about food or movies or music, that there's the critical people who can only say the shit negative stuff, and then there's people who praise everything kind of in an empty way. And I think that's one of the things I try to express at like a show I'll do, like a Kevin Geeks Out show, where we try to, it's like in Full Metal Jacket, where he's got the peace symbol and Born to Kill written on the helmet. It's like you want to be able to have two conflicting ideas coexisting together, where like, and again, you know, I showed my kids the Planet of the Apes movies, and there is something about like, look, these are not perfect films. I enjoy them, but they are flawed movies.
Yeah,
but like you come to appreciate that. I don't know how that applies to food. I don't think the whole like saying something's so bad it's good. I don't know that you can apply that to food.
Well, it does.
Po' boy bread.
It's not journalism. Bread. It's all opinion. You know. Yeah. So I mean that totally.
And even
there's
then,
no regulation on it. There's no need to be on. Honest.
It's not being fact-checked. And I like the idea that there's the freedom and the democracy of anyone can put these things out there. They're not being controlled by the mass media where it's like, you can't say, we have a partnership with this company, so you can't talk negatively.
Right.
But at the same time, those guys aren't necessarily answering to someone who can edit and tell them they need to fact check and like get their stuff straight.
I actually looked up for the Press Council of USA to see if there was any sort of regulation on anything, and I found this one paper that was written from the Reuters Institute, and on the top of the paper it said, "This paper represents the views of the author rather than a statement of a collective view from the Reuters Institute." I was like, fuck, you know. But it doesn't really matter. I mean, if you're doing a blog about fucking cupcakes or something, you know, it's like, checking their facts? You know,
I'm going to blow the lid off of these cupcakes. Marzipan cupcakes.
Although I did see a very in-depth blog about garlic presses.
Oh, there's a video, too.
Yeah, there was
a whole production
situation.
Can we talk
about this? Because my garlic press sucks.
Oh.
I mean, not that I really even use
right,
it.
Quick, because we got a minute left.
BrooklynHomemaker.com. Garlic press test. I'll show you. We'll hook you up.
There you go.
All right, folks, we got about a minute left. I want to go around the room and just, you know, reintroduce the guests. Russell, do you want to give us a little plug for your husband's blog?
Hey, Russell Maxwell. Check out BrooklynHomemaker.com.
Excellent. Gavin, can you tell us where to find you?
Kevin Geeks Out on Twitter, at Kevin Geeks Out. See my movie reviews and photos of my kids.
And can you give us where to find you guys? Online as well as on newsstands?
Put an egg on it, one word, not an. It's grammatically incorrect. Put an egg on it. A, not an, .com.
And what do we find? Where do we actually pick up a copy?
You can pick it up in New York at most cool bookstores, McNally Jackson, St. Mark's, Spoonbill, Desert Island, and also miscellaneous news.
That's how you know.
Hurry, they're all closing. They're all closing. Get out there now.
Because then we get all the money.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all we got, folks. Listen, yelp about the show, and then we'll make fun of you. Thanks again. This has been Eating Disorder. All right, take care.
Later.
All right, where's that pizza?
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.